Welcome to Beautiful Feet Podcast with teaching from the ministry of Carl Yarnell. This is your host, Sharon Kate. This is the 8th episode in a 9-part series about the supremacy of Jesus. In today's sermon, Carl will be teaching about living by faith. So get your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's be encouraged to grow in our faithfulness to Christ.
Chapter 11, and it fits perfectly with the theme of what we've been hearing already. How do we come to know the Lord? How do we walk with Him? The emphasis is on living by faith. We come to know the Lord by faith, and really that's all there ever is. You can never really please the Lord by works. He wants us to do good works, as we read in Ephesians. But pleasing the Lord is trusting Him and walking with Him by faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now, up to now, the writer of Hebrews has been telling us who Jesus is and what He's done. And been showing us that Jesus is above everything and everybody. Jesus is the best. Jesus is supreme. There never has been one like Him. And He goes all the way back through human history and the history of God's people to show us there never has been one like Jesus. And there never will be, because what He has done, He is still doing and will keep doing through eternity, especially as our Savior. And so, since Jesus is supreme in every respect, He not only is able to bring us to God, He is able to keep believers close to God. He's able to cause us to walk with God. He's able to make us pleasing to God. He is able to make us honoring to God, to glorify God, to live a continuous life of assurance, and a continuous life of being blessed and of being a blessing. A continuous life of magnifying God. Because this is what life's all about. That's why He put us here. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He's going to do everything that has been and will be done, is to glorify Jesus and magnify and honor Himself. And so, today we're looking at living by faith. The life of faith is a life of glorifying God. The key verse, I believe, in this chapter is in verse 6. I'm going to read it first. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You get that word? Impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Two things, basically, that are revealed to us in this chapter. First one is the nature of faith. What is faith? Now, this is not a definition, but it's a description. What does faith look like? How can you tell faith when you see it? How can people determine whether this is faith that I'm looking at or not? Do I have faith? It's found in the first three verses. Actually, first two. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. What is faith? It's assurance and conviction. Or it is assurance and proof. It is the assurance of things that we hope for. Now, normally when we hope for things, we don't know whether they're going to come or not. I hope it won't rain tomorrow. I hope that I'll pass my tests. I hope that I'll find a husband or wife. I hope that my life will get better. I hope I'll get better and not die. You know, we hope a lot of things. That's the way most of us live. We live by hope. But that's not what the scripture says. Nowhere does it teach us to live by hope. It says to live by faith. But what's the difference? It says here that faith is the assurance that the things you hope for have already happened. Are already in your hands, already taken place. Christian hope is not doubt. Christian hope is not conjecture. Christian hope is not maybe. Christian hope is I know. So, faith is hope that has already come home, already been completed, already arrived. Faith is hope that is already congealed. You have it in your hand. You don't see it yet, but you know. You know because God tells you so, and you believe it. And you're trusting Him to bring it to pass. Now that's faith. Faith isn't hope. Then, it is the conviction or assurance of things not seen. It's the proof of the reality of what you don't see. Now, how can you prove what you can't see? Well, the old saying, and some of you may be from there, but the old saying that I'm from Missouri, you have to show it to me, you have to prove it to me. That won't go when it comes to living for the Lord. If you have to have everything proven to you, then you'll never be much of a Christian if you get to be one at all. You cannot prove a lot of things to the point that they can be seen right before you. But this says, I am assured or convicted or I have proof of the things which I don't see. And that's faith. When you know and it's already proven to you in your heart, not in your head, it's not belief. Faith goes beyond belief. Belief is based on fact. Faith is based on God. Now God is a fact, but God is not just a fact. Belief is based on earthly, objective, human reality. Things that maybe can be proven. But faith is based on God and who God is and what God says. And so the basis of all faith really is the Word of God because of who God is. God says what He wants to say because of who He is. A person is known by the words he speaks. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man speaks, so is he. That's what you are. You speak what you are. And so when God speaks, God is manifesting, expressing, revealing who He is. And our faith is based on who God is because of what God says. We know who He is. Now that's faith. Faith does not have anything else as its objective. Now belief does, but faith doesn't. And most of the time in the New Testament when it talks about belief, it'd be better if it just went ahead and said faith. But it's difficult to translate some grammatical expressions properly in English as they are in Greek. So most of the time, especially King James translation, some of the older translations just say believe. Whoever believes in the Lord will be saved? No, it's whoever faiths the Lord. Faith is a verb. It's active. It's not passive. And so, the nature of faith is assurance, conviction, proof, even though you don't see it. Now, that's faith. Well, so what? Well, we're talking about living, aren't we? This whole chapter has to do with living. The just shall live by his faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It means you can't start pleasing Him, and you can't keep on pleasing Him, and you can't come down to the end of your life knowing that you have pleased Him without faith. So faith is not something that you start to have, and then you stop having. Then you may start again, and then you stop. Faith is continually active. It begins at a point, and it never stops. Faith is eternal. Because faith is based on the eternal God. Faith is not in fact or things that are temporal. Faith comes from eternity and in itself is eternal. The things that will endure, that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. They last. They endure forever. Faith is from God, and leads us to God, so therefore it goes back to God. A person does not have faith because he wants to. You cannot get faith by searching. You cannot have faith by building your faith up. Faith is a gift. But faith can be advanced. Faith can mature. Faith comes from God, but you can get more from God in one sense. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not just hearing the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. But faith comes from listening to everything God says to you. That's what the Word of God is. When God speaks, that's His Word. When God reveals Himself, that's His Word. When God reveals His will, that's His Word. And so faith comes by listening to God and doing what God wants. And if you don't listen and you don't do, you don't have faith. Faith is not just hearing. Faith is doing. It's active. So, what do we have here? We have a whole list of people and events and circumstances talking about the works of faith. And we've looked at the nature of faith. What is faith? Yes, but what will it do? You know, we're practical. We want to say, well, what use is it? What's the good of that? What will faith do? What will faith work in your life? Here are some good examples that we have. First of all, Abel. Well, let's back up a minute. Let me catch verses 2 and 3. For by it the men of old gained approval. So by faith you gain approval. God approves of you because you trust Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. So you get God's approval. But this is also true from the beginning all the way through. That as you trust, as you submit, you get God's approval. So it's a continuous approval. And then by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So by faith we receive God's approval and blessings. And by faith we understand God's mysteries. So we get approval and we get understanding by faith. We get approval from God and we get blessing. We get revelation. We get understanding in the mind. God reveals something in our hearts. That's revelation. God brings it to our minds and our mind is caused to understand what God has revealed. That's understanding. And when we have revelation, we know what God is saying and we know what God means. Then we can do what God says. And so we continually walk in God's approval. And that's all faith. So, look at these men. Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, yet he still speaks. So, by faith, Abel worshipped. Worship has to be by faith. If worship is not by faith, then it's false worship. If you have to see a God to worship, then you're worshiping a false God because we don't see the true God. That's why Jesus said, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers God wants. And that's what Abel did. Abel came and brought an offering. He brought it in faith. He was worshiping. Faith is the only way you can worship. And then Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So the second thing we see is that Enoch pleased God. So you worship by faith and you please God by faith. And then we have that statement we read, which is the key to the whole chapter, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's why he puts Enoch in here. Enoch pleased God, and that's why God took him. He pleased God so much that God just couldn't live without him. Couldn't live, let him stay down here on the earth. And so he just took him on home to be with him. And so without faith, we can't be taken by God. Without faith, we can't walk with God. Without faith, we can't please God. So Enoch pleased God. And then Noah. Noah by faith, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Righteousness comes by faith. Noah received it. Noah came into the inheritance of righteousness because he had faith. How do we know he had faith? Noah worked. He worked because he had faith. He preached and he worked as a carpenter for 120 years because he had faith. He built a boat, a ship. It wasn't just a boat, it was a ship. You who've been in the Navy know there's a difference. A boat can be put on a ship. This wasn't a boat, it was a ship. Noah, being warned by God, built the ark on dry land. He worked all these years. He preached all these years. Now, that was work. Most of us, we find it trouble to work until we're 65. When we want to retire. Suppose Noah had retired when he's 65. You wouldn't be here. We wouldn't make it, would we? Noah worked. I'm not going to tell you how long he worked, but several years. You can look it up. But that was because Noah had faith. Now, faith works. It doesn't sit still. It doesn't just sit back and wait for glory to come. Wait for heaven. Wait for life to pass on by and get on through all these hardships and trials. No. Faith works. If you have true faith, you work. That pleases God. And then, Abraham and Sarah. I'm not going to read the entire passage about Abraham and Sarah, but read just a portion of it beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. There's the key to what Abraham did. Abraham obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. So Abraham obeyed and went out. Didn't know where he was going. Well, I've never really done that but one time. And that was the first time I ever really obeyed God and just went out not knowing where I was going. And as a result of it, five people came to know the Lord that night. Most of the time, I have to figure things out a little bit and help God out. But Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. He knew the direction, he knew the general place, but he didn't know where he was going to go there. He never did know. Did you know that? Abraham never did know where he was going. Because it says here, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. God said, I'm going to give you a land. And he took him to the land and he never did give it to him. Oh, he told him he gave it to him, but he never got it. So did he have it? Did God give it to him? Yes. Abraham lived in that land, and even though it never became his, he knew it was his. Because he knew that down in the future, God was going to bring the fulfillment of what he had promised. And Abraham looked even beyond that land, and he saw something else. Abraham wasn't looking for Canaan. Abraham didn't just want a land. He wanted a city. Verse 10 says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham had the faith that looked on not just through the years and not just looked on beyond to his descendants when he had none, but looked on beyond all of that, beyond the history of this world, and saw the new Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down out of heaven. Wow, I don't understand that. But that's the kind of faith Abraham had. That was an obedient faith. Faith is always obedient, never disobedient. If you ever do what God doesn't want you to do, or if you refuse to do what God wants you to do, it means you're not trusting him. It's not faith. And then, by faith, Sarah received the ability to conceive. It was impossible for Sarah to have a baby. No way. It's just beyond the time. It was not medically, scientifically possible. But she did. And she did because she believed what God said, that the impossible would become possible. So, Sarah had the faith that receives whatever God says. Whatever God wants. She had a submitting faith. Well, that's really what faith is. Faith is submitting. And that's what she did. And then, verse 12, therefore also there was born of man, of one man, and of him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, a better country, he says in the next verse. Do you see what he's saying here? People like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all these others to follow, they are people who have faith that receive the promises of God as if they're already reality, when they're still promises. That's faith. And notice what it says about this. They did it because they were looking for a country beyond where they were. The heavenly country, the heavenly land. And notice in verse 16, the last part of that verse says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It is only those who have faith, who trust God and obey him and walk with him and do the work he wants and please him and worship him. It is only to those that God will be called my God. Can't call him your God if you don't have that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that will start us and keep us on going through eternity, pleasing to God. Then let's move on with the examples. Isaac in verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Jacob pronounced blessings on his children, and he said things that he didn't know. Well, he said things that God knew. God gave him a word of knowledge, and God gave him a prophecy, and he spoke it, even though he didn't see it. That's faith. Jacob, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. With his last ounce of strength, his last breathing moments, Jacob got up out of bed and stood up and worshipped. And as he worshipped, he prophesied and said what was going to happen to Ephraim and Manasseh. And the things that Jacob prophesied about Ephraim and Manasseh have not all even happened yet. What kind of faith is that? That's real faith. To see into the future and pronounce what God is going to do. Then we look at Joseph. Joseph saw the Exodus. 400 years almost before it happened, Joseph said, when he was dying, he made mention of the Exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Take my bones back when you go back. And it's going to be almost 400 years before it happens. But he believed what God said. Where did he get that? Well, his father told him. Who told his father? God did. God said, it's going to happen. Now, in the midst of slavery, it was hard for them to believe that. But God said, Joseph, remind them again. Things are going to get tough for the next 300-400 years, but then I'm going to take them back. And he believed it. Look at Moses' parents, verse 23. Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's decree. Here's the courage of faith. Faith that has courage is real faith. Then Moses. By faith, Moses made some choices. These weren't easy to make. Moses refused some things. What did he refuse? Good things. Wealth, riches, fame. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses refused a place of exaltation by man so that he could be exalted by God. Much better. And he, by refusing what man offered, he chose something terrible. Reproach of Christ. Moses suffered a little bit of what Jesus suffered a whole lot of. Moses was identifying with Jesus that was to come. That's why he made the choice he did. He believed that the Messiah would come. That prophet like him, but greater than him, that he prophesied would come. He believed he was going to come. And he was looking forward to the reward that he was going to get then. Moses was looking into heaven and saying, it isn't worth taking these things now and losing what's coming later. I'm going to give this up and I'm going to live for that. And so he made some choices that he didn't see the reward of now, but he knew the reward was going to come. That's faith. And then Joshua and Rahab, down in verse 30. The walls of Jericho came down. Here is faith that brings victory. The faith that sees victory before it comes. Now, it was really a stupid thing to get out there and walk around the wall 7 times and expect anything to happen. I mean, that doesn't happen. You don't conquer walled cities by just marching around and doing nothing except blow a bunch of horns, you know. That's not the way you conquer cities. That's the way it happened. Has God ever told you to do anything that seems foolish? You say it'll never work. Well, if he hasn't, he will. What are you going to do? Say, God, it won't work. Well, if you do, it shows you don't have any faith. So you won't get any victory. Faith brings victory. Real faith always does. It doesn't fail. And then look at this woman, Rahab. Here is the simplicity of faith, or simple faith. She didn't know anything about God except what she'd heard by the way of the grapevine. How God had led these people out of Egypt and the things that happened in the wilderness. And she was scared. And she said, I believe what you say, these spies that came in there. And even though she was a prostitute, she believed. And though she didn't know much, and she didn't have much faith, she didn't have much to base it on, she believed what these spies said. She believed that their God was true and he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And she said, I want to be saved. And she was. That's very simple. That's the way most children come to the Lord. Many of you came to know the Lord like that. You didn't understand. You didn't know all about God. You didn't know all about what God was going to do. But you knew that God said he'd save you. And you wanted to be saved. You did. I remember when I came down the aisle, nobody talked to me. Nobody told me anything about how to be saved. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know you're supposed to, you know, repent and believe and confess and all that. I just knelt down and said, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, for about 5 minutes. And after a while, I believed he did. So I got up and went back to my seat. And he did. It's that simple. Oh, I understand a lot more now. But it was simple then. Faith is simple. It's not complicated. Simple. Oh, there are many other heroes here. I'm not going to read about all of them. But look what they did. We're talking about the works of faith. They performed acts of righteousness. They obtained promises. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong in weakness. They became mighty men. They received back dead from the resurrection or by resurrection. And they experienced a great deal of hardship, mocking and torture and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two with a saw. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about with sheepskins and goatskins because they didn't have any clothes. They had to live in caves. Their property was taken away from them. But they had faith. They had faith. And that's how they were able to endure. And that's the whole message of Hebrews. Hey, people, God isn't dead. The Christian life is not all sadness and defeat. God is going to give us victory. God is going to give you the strength to endure, to go through, because Jesus is still interceding for you. The blood of Jesus still covers all your sin. The power of Jesus is in your heart. God cares. He always cares. And he's just bringing you through these hardships to bring you to the land that he's promised. To bring you to the city that's soon coming down. To bring you into the fullness of the reward that he has promised to you. Walk by faith. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Why is it God hasn't already given you all he's promised? He's waiting till all of his children come through to the end. And then he's going to give it all to all of us. Have you ever called your children together and said, I'm going to give you something. And one or two come in. You call the other. Hey, come on, I want to give you something. Something good. And they wait and delay. And the others say, come on, just forget about them. Give it to us now. Just, no, wait till everybody gets here. Okay, that's what he's saying. God is going to give it to you. Don't doubt him. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. God is going to give you all he has promised. Trust him. He's trustworthy. He won't fail. Shall we pray?